We are continuing this morning for our exhortations in Hebrews chapter 11. We're towards the end of the chapter. In fact, we're going to read up to the very last verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. Beginning in verse 32, it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something, some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." This is God's word. Well, this morning we are going to look at this big chunk, and I'm going to treat it all at once, because the author, he is summarizing here all of these characters and using them as numerous examples. I won't do what Thomas Manton did, the English Puritan, who did some 40 to 50 sermons on this section. We will do it all at once. But here we see all these different characters of the Old Testament. He just mentioned Rahab beforehand, and now he's moving on to all these other characters. And he goes throughout Old Testament history. He surveys Old Testament history from the time of the Judges. He begins with Gideon. And then all the way to the end of Old Testament history, even into the period between the Testaments. For some of these accounts, it's probably likely what's being referred to here. Now notice especially the different forms which faith took here. In other words, the things that they did, how faith showed itself. It said that by faith they subdued kingdoms. By faith they stopped the mouth of lions. By faith they escaped the edge of the sword. By faith they turned to flight foreign armies. By faith they were made strong in war. By faith they were stoned. By faith they were sawn in two. By faith, they wandered in caves and deserts and mountains. This is quite the list, isn't it? These are some dangerous faith actions that are taking place in the lives of these people. It may not sound much like our life in terms of the subduing of kingdoms and facing martyrdom. Nevertheless, these people are a lot like us. If you look through the list, you see a list of people that are not perfect people. This is not a sanitized, perfectly sanctified list, is it? For example, we have Gideon, doubted God repeatedly as God called him to action and was afraid of the Midianites. Samson was repeatedly immoral with other women. Jephthah made a foolish vow. David committed adultery and murder a man. And those other sorts of actions that could be described. Of course, they are good actions in their lives in contrast to these things, but you get the picture. And the point is that by faith, all the saints of the past have lived and served our God. And that any of us could be on this list. You could have been in Hebrews 11 if you were there back then. Rahab wasn't that impressive. She made the list. They didn't make the list because they're extraordinary people in and of themselves. They made the list because of their faith in a great God. These are not spiritual Olympians, nor are we. We are weak. We are frail. But by faith, we live this life. Now, we could say much about each of these examples, but I want to focus primarily on one of the phrases that's thrown in here in verse 38. It says, it's describing the suffering of the saints, and then it says in verse 38, "of whom the world was not worthy." of whom the world was not worthy. Now, a key theme in most of these examples is some sort of suffering, or maybe battle at least. But suffering, martyrdom, persecution seems to be the example that is primary here, which made sense because when the author of Hebrews wrote his letter, he was writing to people that were suffering from persecution. What better examples to give him than those who suffered in the past? But notice the text says, the world was not worthy of them. That's an amazing thing because the world says exactly the opposite. The whole reason that these people were being killed was because the world is saying, you're not worthy of this world. The world says, we don't want you around. You don't deserve to live here with the rest of us. You're not worthy to be among us. But the text here, it inverts that. It flips it around and says, no, the world is not worthy of the saints. When the world persecutes the saints, it's actually hurting itself because the saints are supposed to have this preserving, transforming influence. Salt and light, as Jesus said in Matthew. The Lord said, you are the salt of the earth, and that the city set upon a hill, its light shines, and it brings light to the rest of the world. So when the world persecutes the saints, it hurts itself. It damages itself and the good effects that that would bring about. And as Jesus said in John 3, people hate the light. Sinful, fallen men do not want the light that the saints bring to the world as they seek to serve the one true and living God. But what we want to come away with from this section is that God's estimation of His people is that the world is not worthy of them. And that is a very encouraging thing for us, as we are sometimes tempted to try to make ourselves worthy of the world. The world is trying to tempt us to conform to its ways. It's wanting us to make ourselves worthy of its demands. To speak the way they do, to act the way they do, to do the things they do, to value the values that they have. But we need to remember what God thinks of all this. We forget that the world, in fact, is actually not worthy of God's people. Why would we seek the world's approval when we're being redeemed out of the world? When God has redeemed us as His treasured possession. And just as the saints of the past, they were willing to face death and suffering because they set a low value upon the world. They sought the kingdom that is to come. They sought the city with foundations that last into eternity. And so we also, brothers and sisters, we ought to remember that we ought not to make ourselves worthy of this world, but to remember that the world is not worthy of us. It's no occasion for pride. We know there's nothing impressive about us, just as there wasn't much impressive about these people either. It's because God has redeemed us. He has chosen us. He has paid this price of the death of His Son, the most valuable gift, because He loves us, because He has redeemed us. And so let us remember how the saints of the past despised the world and rightly understood what they were to be seeking. Let us seek the city with foundations. Next week we will look at briefly at Hebrews 12, which, though it's not in Hebrews 11, is most essential for us to get Hebrews 11 right, that we must look unto Jesus. And we'll look at that next time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You've given us these stories to remind us of the importance of living by faith in the Son of God who died for us and rose again that we might have new life. We ask that You would help us to be willing to suffer for Christ, that we would not spend our time making ourselves worthy of the world, seeking to be conformed to the world's ways, but that we would rather partake in the fellowship of Your people, that we would esteem the reproach of Christ greater treasure than all the riches that this world has to offer. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.